you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with us to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. We'll stand for the reading of the Word of God. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege of being in God's house, thankful for the blessings the Lord has bestowed upon us. I pray this morning that you'd help us call from within us, Lord, the praise that's due unto your name. Help us this morning by your Spirit to realize that no matter what kind of burdens that we bear, our God is able to help us. And I pray that our faith in you would be strong and unshaken by the storms of life. And we'll give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to preach to you this morning for a few minutes on shipwrecked faith. I read to you in my scripture this morning that about some who had made shipwreck of their faith. And I'm concerned this morning because as I look out over the religious scene in our great nation, I see the spiritual state of our churches and of our families. And there is cause for concern. We're under pressure. All of us are under pressure. We're under pressure of cares of life. We're under the pressure of the world, the flesh, the devil. And many people have been worn down by the resistance of the enemy of our soul. And now then, they have lost their resistance, lost their faith. No longer do they stand tall for Jesus because of the unrelenting pressure from the world, the flesh, and the devil. But the Bible tells us in my text that we're to hold faith and a good conscience. In my text, Paul is warning the young preacher Timothy not to make shipwreck of his faith. He mentions two people by name who made shipwreck of their faith, Hymenaeus and Alexander. Timothy no doubt knew these two men, Hymenaeus and Alexander. He probably knew them before their tragic loss of their faith. And no doubt he could see the difference in them since they discarded their faith. And I want to say emphatically to you this morning that it is possible for you to lose your faith. Hymenaeus and Alexander are representatives of a multitude of people who were once men and women of faith, but who somewhere made shipwreck of their faith on the journey of life. A tragedy occurred in their life, changed the direction of their life, and they became spiritual casualties. They made spiritual shipwreck. The scriptures teach us very clearly that the abandonment of faith is going to increase in the last days. I ask you this morning, are we in the last days? And if we are in the last days, is this not what we are to look for in the last days? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4 and 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4, Paul said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming and his appearing, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and shall turn away from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Jesus asked this question in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? What's the reason for that question? The reason for that question is that faith will be scarce on the earth when Jesus comes back. Satan's ultimate aim this morning is to destroy your faith. Your faith is the foundation of your relationship with Christ. It is the major part of your defense against the devil. For the Bible tells us when giving to us the various articles of our armor, he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby ye can quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Without that shield of faith, you are open to the fiery darts of the wicked one. You are vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. In my text, there's a definite connection between faith and a good conscience. Verse 19 in my text says, holding faith and a good conscience. Here's what God's aim is for you in chapter 1, verse 5 of 1 Timothy. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. You hear these three things tied together: a pure heart, a good conscience, and unfeigned faith. What is this unfeigned faith? This is genuine faith. It's not a put-on faith. It's not something, you know, that like we hear about so much now. It's sort of like faith in faith. We're talking about a faith in God, a faith in the promises of God. These things go together: a pure heart, a good conscience, a faith unfeigned. You notice also in chapter 3 of 1 Timothy in verse 9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. So there is a link between faith and a good conscience. In my text, he says in verse 19, which some having put away. And Vincent says that the phrase having put away could be translated having thrust from them. And what he's referring to is the good conscience, holding faith in a good conscience, which some having put away. That is, they have put away a good conscience. They have lost a good conscience. And whenever you have lost a good conscience, you have damaged your faith. A pure heart, a good conscience, and unfeigned faith go together. You remember in the Old Testament, Saul stepped out of his place and offered sacrifice in place of Samuel. This having thrust from them implies a willful violation of the conscience, a determined resistance to the constraints of conscience. You know your conscience checks you. Don't you know that God gave you a conscience to check you, to put restraints on your behavior, to cause you to do what is right, to refrain from doing what is wrong? God gives you a conscience. And this having thrust from them, it implies a willful violation of your conscience. Saul stepped out of his place, offered sacrifice in place of Samuel. And in doing so, he brought upon himself the judgment of God. He described his behavior like this. He said, I forced myself. He knew he was not supposed to do this. This was not his place. It was out of his role. It was not God's will for him. But he said, I forced myself to do this. In other words, he pushed over the boundary of conscience and did that which he knew to be wrong. It seems like, are you listening to me? It seems like that it was not easy for him to cross that boundary between right and wrong, but he forced himself. You've got to value a good conscience. I'm going to tell you, you've got to value a good conscience. For if you don't have a good conscience, your faith is tied to a good conscience. And you've got to value a good conscience. Listen, when your conscience says no, don't force yourself across that boundary. Stop right there. Keep a good conscience because your faith is linked to your conscience. You only have a good conscience because Jesus died to give you one. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. This is the reason we've got a good conscience, because Jesus died to give you one. Jesus died on the cross to cleanse our conscience, purify our conscience, give us a good conscience, take away the guilt of sin out of our conscience. You have a good conscience because Jesus died to give you a good conscience. Value that conscience. Treasure that good conscience. Guard that good conscience. Your faith is linked to your good conscience. Don't force yourself across the boundary. When God has laid down a boundary, this is right, this is wrong, you know. Don't force yourself over that boundary. Stop right there. And the tragedy of Saul is that once he forced himself and overcame the resistance of conscience, he continued to override his conscience until the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. And you understand that once you successfully override the objections of your conscience, it seems like that the struggle is not so hard the next time. Once you get across the boundary, once you violate your conscience, once you resist the Holy Ghost and say no to the dealings of the Holy Ghost, and you get across that boundary, it's easier to go back across it the next time and the next time. And excuses for sin soon begin to make sense to you. Did you hear me? I said excuses for sin soon begin to make sense to you. So you think you're unique. Nobody has the struggles you have. Nobody's in the position you're in. Nobody's experienced what you're experiencing. And so you begin to pity yourself and excuse your sin. And you begin to justify your sin. And God wants to justify you and clear you of your sins and deliver you from your sins. And you're excusing your sins. You've violated your conscience. And once you've gone across the boundary, it's easier to go back again until you're making excuses for the sins you are allowing in your life. Two major signs of shipwreck. One is the resistance to the truth. When you've made shipwreck of your faith, these men, Hymenaeus and Alexander, began to blaspheme. They began to resist the truth. These men who once followed the truth, these men who once believed the truth, these men who once walked in the truth, now they are resistors of the truth. Jesus said in John 8:47, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." You understand that when you're really not saved, you don't hear very well. You got to have a work of God to open your ears so you can hear what God is saying. And because they lost their faith, they became resistors of the truth. Paul mentions Hymenaeus in 2 Timothy 2:16-18. Look at this man who made shipwreck of his faith. Paul said, "Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Their word will eat as doth a canker or cancer. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some? Here's a man that made shipwreck of his faith. Listen to me now. He made shipwreck of his faith, and he's overthrowing the faith of others. This man, it doesn't stop with him. Once he has lost his faith, once he's made shipwreck of his faith, he's overthrowing the faith of somebody else. So it doesn't stop with just the shipwreck of our faith. In 2 Timothy 4, 14 through 15, Paul mentions the activity of Alexander after he made shipwreck. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Listen, that was a day when Paul's preaching made sense to these men. That was a day when they rejoiced in the proclamation of the truth. But now then, things have changed. There was a time they struggled with Paul to get this message to those who had not heard it. Now they reject it. Now they deny it. Now they resist it. And now they overthrow the faith of others. They have made shipwreck of their faith. Second sign of a shipwrecked faith is surrender to the world. For the Bible says in 1 John 5 and 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This is how we overcome the world. Our faith in the Word of God. Our faith in the promises of God. Our faith in the person of Jesus Christ. The world is that part of God's creation that's in a state of rebellion against the Creator. You're surrounded by this world system. All of us live in this world system. We are in the world, but not of the world. We have to live in this world system, but we don't belong to it. But it's always seeking to force you into its mold. That's why the Bible says in Romans 12 and 2, be not conformed to this world. Don't be pressed into the mold of this world. You don't have to follow its fashions. You don't have to accept its philosophies. You don't have to be pressed into the mold of this world. You have been given victory by your faith in Jesus Christ. Without faith operating in our life, we don't have the strength to overcome the world. But with faith operating in our life, we value the favor of God over the approval of the world. Hallelujah. And we overcome the world by our faith in Jesus Christ. Now you can recognize that man that has made shipwreck of his faith. He follows the course of the world. He's willing to do whatever the world demands of him. He's willing to do whatever the world requires of him in order to be accepted and to be held in high esteem by the world. Is that you? Do you value the world's approval? Are you forced into the mold of this world? He learns to talk their talk, tell their jokes, and treat life as if there were no eternity, no judgment, no accountability. He learns to walk like they walk and talk like they talk. He's forced into the mold of the world. He's made shipwreck of his faith. You understand, ladies, that the fashions of this world are not designed to promote godliness or purity or chastity. But when you are no longer overcoming the world, then you are forced into the mold of the world. and you suffer shipwreck of your faith. Great men have. I'm telling you, great men have. Greater men than me, greater women than you, have made shipwreck of their faith. Demas was a man who was a fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote about Demas and said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He made shipwreck of his faith. But I want to tell you something. You don't have to lose your faith. You can have a strong faith in the face of the opposition of hell. You don't have to lose your faith. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said to him in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it's in you also. Unfeigned faith, I see it in your grandmother Lois, I see it in your mother Eunice, I see it in you too. Unfeigned faith. You understand that there are no males mentioned here. No father, no grandfather with faith, but a grandmother and a mother with faith. Seems like that the men were missing here. And Paul could have, or Timothy could have said, well, you know, I've got this disadvantage. My father's not a believer. My grandfather's not a believer. He could have followed in the steps of grandfather and father. But instead, Timothy chose the route of a grandmother that had faith and a mother that had faith. And Paul said, I see that same faith in you as well. You know, Paul became a spiritual father to Timothy. He became an example to him. He became an instructor of Timothy. And he urged Timothy, don't abandon your faith. Don't make shipwreck of your faith. This is the foundation of your spiritual life. You must believe. You must trust in God. You must not lose your confidence in the Lord. The Bible says that we are not of them that draw back into perdition, but of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. He said, cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. And we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Don't thrust away from you a pure conscience. Hold on to your faith and be true to God. I'm telling you, it's going to pay off after a while. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul testified at the end of life, writing to this very young man, Timothy, urged him. He said, I want you to war a good warfare. And then gave his testimony and said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. And brother, when we get to the end of life, this is what we must be able to say. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all of them that love his appearing. The Apostle Paul could look back and see trouble behind him, difficulties behind him, persecution behind him, suffering behind him, but nothing but pure pleasure in front of him. Hallelujah. Because he said, there's a crown laid up for me. Thank God and for all of those who love the appearing of Jesus Christ. Oh my, when we get to the end of the journey, we look back and we see the suffering, we see the pain, we see the persecution, but we look ahead and we see the reward of the saints of God. It's all going to be worth it, brother and sister. Hold on to your faith. Hallelujah. Don't make shipwreck of your faith. A pure heart, a clear conscience, an unfeigned faith. Hallelujah. Faith in the future of the children of God. Faith in the promises that God has given to us. Faith. There's a better day awaiting on the saints of God. Hallelujah. We are not of them that draw back. We are of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. Praise God. I wonder this morning if there's anyone in this place, Sister Judy, if you'll come to the piano, that might not know Jesus, that you don't have the genuine faith, saving faith, faith that overcomes the world, faith that brings the victory. Jesus will give you faith. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God gives us faith to be saved. He gives us faith to be kept. He adds to our faith virtue, knowledge, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, temperance. We add to that faith. We build on that faith. But if you don't have the faith, you have nothing to build on. So we got to have that faith to build on. Faith in God. Faith in His promises. Faith in the future of the people of God. Hallelujah. I know some of you have been through the fire. Maybe going through the fire right now. And someday, if you hold on to your faith, you'll do like Paul. You'll look back and you'll see, I fought. I ran. I was in a lot of pain, problems, troubles. But from this point, hallelujah, from this point, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give, not to me only, but to all of those that love His appearing. Praise God. The Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. We can see by the eye of faith a better day. We can see by the eye of faith the reward of the righteous. We can see by the eye of faith the fulfillment of the promises of God. God said to Abraham, you'll have a son. 25 years later, he's still looking by the eye of faith for that son. And faith did not fail. And one day he held that baby. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God.
Oh,
hey,
God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Hold on to your faith.
Oh.
God is going to bring it to pass. Hallelujah. The promises of God in Christ Jesus are yea, and in Him, amen. And they never fail because God cannot lie. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Altars are open this morning. Is anybody here that you feel your need of Christ? Or you feel your need to have your faith strengthened by Christ? Altars are open this morning.